Welcome to Learning Lab by Books Over Bars, a break-free education podcast highlighting the incredible work taking place in juvenile justice classrooms across the country. I'm one of your hosts, Kayla Holland. I work with Break Free Education. And for this educator series, I'm joined by my good friend and colleague, Christina Campbell. On this episode of Learning Lab, Christina and I chat with Catherine Jones, lead teacher and science teacher at Coastal Evaluation and Development Center, which is part of the South Carolina Department of Juvenile Justice. Catherine talks about cultivating relationships with secure care and how aligned adults create calmer, more predictable classrooms. I loved how Catherine shared practical ways she and secure care partners stay on the same page. Consistent routines, clear channels for daily communication, and explicitly sharing expectations with students so they know what to expect and don't get frustrated. She highlights the importance of teachers and secure care sharing information about what's happening with students so everyone responds with consistency. Catherine is an educator who treats challenges as creative opportunities and says, "Don't tell me how I can't do it, tell me how I can." This conversation lifts up a village mindset, shared goals, and concrete first steps for teachers who want to start building stronger relationships with secure care staff. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Catherine and Christina. Catherine, I'm so excited that you're here to chat with us today. I've just really been looking forward to this conversation. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I think a good place to start is just tell us a little bit about your classroom and your school.
So my classroom and school is a satellite location with the South Carolina Department of Juvenile Justice. So we are not on a main campus per se. So we're kind of a miniature version of the main facility in Columbia. We have currently two certified teachers and a associate teacher, and we do teach all of the subjects, all of the contents. We do not have any additional electives classes or anything like that at the time, but the students are able to access those via Google Classroom and other means on the computer. And the school itself it's just a, you know, small little portion of our secure facility outside of the Charleston, South Carolina area.
How many students do you have typically?
We typically average around 20. We've had as few as 12 at one time, and as many as 34, I believe, is the highest that we've ever gotten. And our site is unique. We are actually the only all-female facility in our state. There are females at some of our camps and on a annex version of our main campus in Columbia, but our site itself is just strictly all females.
Wow. How long have you been there?
This is my third year.
Okay.
So I've been in education for 26 years total. Mm. This is my third year here. I have worked in county schools, city schools. I've actually worked for the Department of Defense, teaching on a military installation for 9 years. And when I left there, I went to the Myrtle Beach area and taught for 7.5 years. And after COVID and everything went kind of haywire in the education system, I was really burnt out. I just didn't feel like I was able to do what I love to do about teaching, which was actually work with the students instead of all the extra paperwork and everything that was going on in the public school. So I started, you know, looking elsewhere for something different. And the job actually just kind of fell in my lap. It was perfect timing. I was going through a big life change and wanting to kind of get out of that area anyways. And it just, like I said, it just kind of found me, and it's really been a huge blessing. I truly love my job.
Well, you certainly found something different, I'm sure.
Yeah. Not different. The same students, same type of students, the same clientele per se, just in a different setting that I have more control over, and that, you know, I don't have the parents and all of the administration extra stuff that I'm, I guess, trying to get through to get to them and reach the student.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Catherine, we hear that a lot, that JJ education is the best kept secret of education. And when you ask teachers, you know, why do you say that? Their number one answer is, I don't have to deal with parents. So I think you're right along.
It's not that we don't have to deal with them. It's just that piece is taken out of the equation. But, you know, I think it's the best kept secret because I get to do all of the things that I love to do about being an educator. I get to help them with personal things. I get to help them look at where they're going next. So kind of that counseling piece, the job piece, the content, everything kind of all wrapped up in one. And it's just, you know, on a smaller scale, I might have maybe 10 students in a class at a time. So that one individual attention that you're able to give them is, you know, very impactful.
Yeah, you can definitely have a bigger impact when you're only at with 10 at a time. And also when they're in these facilities, they're with you. You know, this is an opportunity, I always say, to really grab them and to engage them, because there's really not much else going on sometimes. Sure, court is all that stuff is on their mind, but when they're with you, they're with you. And if you can establish a relationship with them, it can definitely have a big impact. So I agree with you there. This month, our Cultivate series is focusing on building strong relationships with secure care staff. And I would love to hear from you what that looks like in your setting, in your school.
So in our setting, our relationship with the secure care staff is ever changing and evolving. I like to think it's for the positive. We've come from a place where everybody kind of was their own separate entity. And now it's really become more of like, it takes a village to raise a child. It's that village now. It's really starting to come together. I think it's, you know, there's been several different staffing changes. Our new day shift captain is amazing. She sees it from both perspectives as professional, but also being a parent herself. So she understands how flexible you have to be in education. And I think that makes a huge difference. We try to keep things as consistent as possible with the scheduling, the format of the scheduling, and making sure that they have what they need beforehand. And along with that is understanding that their shifts are different. So it might be an inconvenience, a little inconvenience for me to send the schedule at 8 o'clock at night, but knowing that that's when the new shift is coming on, or shortly, you know, thereafter, they'll have a chance to check their email so that when they are ready in the morning to get the girls ready for school, they know what's going on. They know kind of, you know, how the day is set up. I think us spending time in the pods or in the units with the youth, there are some days because we are very short on staff in our school, there are days when we have to take school to the pods or to the units. And being in there, you know, we kind of see things from their perspective. So, you know, and they come in the classrooms and they join us. And they'll sit in there, they'll help, you know, some will help the students with a math problem, you know, this, that, or the other for a couple minutes here or there. So I think being cognizant of what everybody's trying to accomplish at the same time and kind of cross training in each other's roles has really helped us to build a better system, because ultimately our goal is for the youth to be safe, secure, and to be focused while they're in school. So, you know, sometimes that might mean them calling me 5 minutes before school starts and saying, hey, so-and-so just had, you know, a little scuffle. We're on our way to school. They're scheduled to be in the same class. Is there anything you can do? So, you know, we'll make a quick schedule change or, you know, do something like that. Whereas in the past, it could have just been that they sent them on to school, didn't say anything. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, you've got a major disruption in class because that carried over from the unit coming into the school hall.
Yeah. You know, Catherine, it sounds like you really work as a team between education and secure care. It sounds like there's compromise happening on both sides and and you're working as a team, but you made a statement that said it wasn't always like that in the past. So how did you go from not working as a team in the past to creating that kind of partnership now?
At the end of last year, I had been talking with our new day shift captain. She wasn't the captain at the time, but she was, you know, in transition from being, I think, a lieutenant to the captain. And, you know, I had said to her, you know, I would really love to sit down with you and see if we can collectively come up with some practices and some expectations for the school hall and them getting to the school hall and leaving that would make things easier for us or for everybody, and also be just more consistent on how things are done. I said, because, you know, you have A shift and B shift. A shift does it one way, B shift does it another way. Can we kind of try to, you know, get everybody on the same page and do things the same way? Because the girls get frustrated when, you know, well, on Monday and Tuesday, we did it this way, but on Wednesday and Thursday, we have to do it this way because we have a different staff. And she was very open to that. So we actually sat down with the principal, myself, our FA, AFA, and security, and we just tossed ideas around, like, how can we get them in without them just running to different rooms and being in rooms where they're not supposed to be? How can we dismiss in an orderly fashion? How can we eliminate some of the excess activity that goes on during class change? And we really just put our heads together and came up with some expectations that we in turn typed up, and we present them to the students when they arrive or at the beginning of the year. And, you know, make sure that they understand that those are the expectations. And then each staff gets a copy of them as well. So everybody kind of knows what is supposed to be happening and when and where.
I love it. I'm hearing so many good things. I mean, this is great. I hope you guys are feeling proud of that, you know, collaboration that you guys have going.
Yeah, and we do check-ins, you know, periodically. Hey, you know, Is this still working well for you all? Is there anything, you know, you need us to know? And also making sure that the education staff are just kind of cognizant of different things that are going on. You know, not that we like to claim that we eavesdrop or this and that, but keeping your ears and your eyes open in that setting, you can, you know, kind of pick up on a lot of things that could be eliminated. You know, they don't do everything in front of us. In the school hall, they really do have us respect for us over there, but to eliminate, you know, some things on the pod or in rec or wherever, just, you know, hearing and seeing and making sure that you communicate that with staff. Like today, there was an incident where I overheard that, you know, there was going to be a confrontation when they got to such and such place. And so I made sure, you know, I sent a message, hey, listen, I just overheard so-and-so, this, that, and the other. Just wanted to make you aware, you know, please pass it along to whoever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys are using these terms, but we think of this as like a team, a mutual accountability team or a students first team, you know, bringing together both sides, representatives of secure care, representatives of education staff, and having a team where you come up with clear operations expectations around transitions, around roles in the classroom or on the unit, if education staff are on the unit. And so, I mean, and then meeting regularly, having that built in to check in and communicate what's going on. So I don't know if you guys use that term or not, but that, it sounds like that's what you guys have created.
It's essentially, yes. I don't know that that is, I don't know that there, we've titled it at this point. And I think it just kind of really happened inadvertently, just because I'm such a creature of structure and habit and having expectations, because you can't hold somebody accountable for something that they don't know what, you know, what the expectations are. And I don't like to call them rules, because that's the last thing they want to hear. But just knowing that, you know, this is kind of what we expect for you. We know that there are going to be days when it's harder than others, and you can communicate that with us. But in a, you know, in an overall general sense, this is how we expect things to go on a daily basis to accomplish what we need to do while we're over there.
Yeah, it's shared goals and working towards that. One of the things you said was that the word consistency, you mentioned it when you were talking about how kids might get thrown off, or, you know, they get frustrated if they're told they have one shift doing it this way and another shift doing it another way. And I think that's a big thing, right? Consistency and making, right? So it again goes with expectations and setting those in students. And so I'm wondering if you could speak to maybe any changes that you've seen in your students as this partnership between your school and the Secure Care has grown stronger.
Oh, I definitely feel like their transition from the unit into school has tremendously improved. Just, you know, expecting them to be in a line and to come in a certain order, and security lining them up before they open the door so that they're like the first so many go in one door, the other, next so many go in another door. And it sounds kind of elementary, but it just really cuts down on the chaos and the excess activity that then leads to, you know, disruption and negative things that don't need to happen. So I think that having that in place, and I think they appreciate it as well, because I just don't think from a security standpoint, you think about those things, you know, and how logistically you can get everybody into one place as quickly as possible and get everybody settled and secure. So I think that's been just beneficial forever. It's lessened the frustration for everybody, the students, the security staff, the teachers, and, you know, just kept more order to things, which then has kind of calmed down the negative behavior once they get in the classroom, because that's been kind of stifled beforehand and not let to escalate as they get closer and closer to the school hall.
Yeah, almost like consistency builds safety so that students can relax. They can then transition into the focus on learning, which is the goal when you're in school. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, and I think we know too, students don't really thrive in chaos. And so it sounds like you working as a team is such a positive aspect for kids. I wonder if you can speak to, like, you know, students notice this. I mean, you know, when a student comes in a room and the educator and the secure care staff are in alignment and agreement, there's a different vibe than when you're in a classroom when the adults in the room aren't in the same kind of, you know, mental flow or vibe or whatever you want to call it. You know that kids feel that.
There have been times when, whether it be a new staff, whether it be, you know, someone who's just having a bad day, or, you know, we, unfortunately, our security staff is kind of transient, and we do share sometimes with other facilities. So, you know, of course, anytime they think they have a little inch and somebody might not know the procedures and the different ways that we do things, they're more likely to kind of see what they can get away with. But again, that goes back to the consistency. And, mm-hmm. you know, even just in our classrooms, we run our classrooms how we run them. But as simple as asking to go to the bathroom, there's a procedure for that. You need to ask the teacher. The teacher has to go to the door. And again, this is something that we put in place as, you know, the education department at our facility, so that there aren't constantly students at the door and, you know, youth interacting with other youth to disrupt the learning environment. So that kind of, and it takes a little bit of time. Sometimes the day shift captain or myself will, you know, kind of informally train a new security officer or somebody that's over there just observing, which they do a great job with that. Our security department is wonderful about letting them shadow and asking questions and coming in, seeing it live before they actually hit the floor. So I think that makes a huge difference, and just kind of having a name with a face and who they're working with over there, you know, makes a huge difference.
It sounds like it makes it so easy when you have shared expectations. It lowers some of that frustration, right? It has to when someone's new, teacher or secure care staff, or they're filling in a role. When you have these shared, consistent expectations, or you have some kind of accountability team that we talked about a little bit ago, people know what to expect. And it's the belief that we do things this way. You know, it's not like I, Kayla, as your teacher, want this to go this way and everybody has to follow along. It becomes this is how we do it here at this school. And so when you have new people coming in, it becomes, to me, it sounds like it becomes so easy to say, oh, we don't do it that way here. We do it this way. And here's why. And it feels like that would be such a positive thing to keep all the adults in alignment, right?
It does. And a lot of times the students will self, you know, they'll teach them themselves like, oh, no, we can't do it that way. You've got to wait until so-and-so says this or until so-and-so does this. So they've really bought into it. And I think you mentioned it before. I think they like knowing that they can come over there and there not be the chaos that they may encounter in other places. And it's not intentional chaos. It's just, that's what happens when you get, you know, a group of people, a large group of people in one space, and there's not a lot of activity things that you can do. And again, they're there for rehabilitation. And a part of that is, you know, modeling for them appropriate interactions with other people. So even if, you know, we are advising someone that that's not how things are done, modeling for them the correct way to do it, as opposed to, are you crazy? That's not, you know, that's the way to do that. Or, you know, just making sure that they hear and see and understand that our expectations that we have for them are the same that we have for ourselves to interact with the other adults that we are working together with.
Yeah. You know, Catherine, that makes me think of, I mean, we're all humans. We all make mistakes. We all have bad days, and we're all just a bunch of adults in one space trying to do our best. And that makes me think of what happens when someone on your team, either educator or secure care, just doesn't get along for the day, or some big argument ensues, or something happens. Is there a process for it within your kind of protocols that says, you know, hey, we're going to both kind of pull ourselves to the side and discuss this as adults, or we're going to follow up with that tomorrow after tempers have cooled down? I'm just wondering, what does it look like in your space when things don't work out so well in one situation?
Well, me personally, I will not have negative interactions in front of the youth. Mm-hmm. If there is something that I have a concern about, you know, I'll definitely address it with that person individually when the youth aren't around. And if it means like having to go to the AFA or the FA or even, you know, our captain and be like, hey, can you get someone to cover for so-and-so? I just need to kind of clear the air. And the same thing with the other educators, making sure that we aren't having those negative interactions in front of them. Like you've said, people are human. And, you know, there's times when I'm sure been a little snippy, you know, with each other, or it's definitely a stressful environment. And some days are much more stressful than others. Figuring out how to de-escalate yourself before you have those is a huge, I think, piece to remembering that you are that model, and that if they see you do it, then they're going to, you know, of course, feel that that's an appropriate interaction, and they're going to follow suit, or they're going to be upset because you're constantly trying to reteach them how to interact and then you do it. But if it happens, I tell them all the time, I'm human. I make mistakes. I'm going to own up to it and be like, hey, listen, I was stressed. This is what happened. And I shouldn't have used that tone of voice, you know, with so-and-so. I will have a conversation with them afterwards and understand that it wasn't directed at them. I was just having a moment, and this is how you appropriately go about these types of situations.
Sounds like you're doing a lot of work and in an incredibly great way.
You make it sound so easy, Catherine.
Yeah. Thank you for all you're doing. It can take a lot of work, and you have to put in the time up front so that, you know, it gets easier and easier to keep working as a team. And I love that you have really been kind of a mover and shaker in your space around this issue, Catherine. If a teacher who's listening is thinking, maybe I should start strengthening the relationships I have with secure care staff, what advice would you give them, either as encouragement or a step to start small, or, you know?
I would say to kind of look at one or two practices that are happening that are either very positive or very negative that either make the school environment run smoothly or not run smoothly, and start small. And that's kind of what I did. I started even before I got into the lead teacher position, just kind of doing some research and, you know, kind of seeing, well, is there a reason it's done this way? Has it ever been different? Asking a lot of questions to different people to see, was there something I was missing? Is there a piece that I'm not taking into consideration? And then I just kind of started making a checklist and kind of saw what was in place and what wasn't in place. And, you know, just kind of got some feedback from some different people that work at the different facilities. You know, how does your site do this? And just kind of pieced everything together and then, you know, took that leap of faith and was like, hey, can we all sit down in one place instead of trying to communicate through paper or email or whatever, and just kind of talk this out, brainstorm together. I think it, you know, would be much more effective that way. And so once we kind of got everybody on board and they realized that it wasn't a gotcha, you know, oh, mm-hmm. you all don't do this right, you don't do that right. And it was more just to make everybody's jobs and, of course, the youth more comfortable and safe and secure in the areas that they were in.
Yeah. Awesome.
I really hope people listening are just, I mean, you've said so many lovely things. Like, I just hope people are really listening and able to take that one small step forward. I mean, we know a lot of people struggle with building relationships with secure care in their classroom. And Catherine, you've said so many lovely things. I just hope that people listening really can grab a nugget or two and implement this in their space.
I agree. I wonder, I know we're going to do our usual closeout question, but one more that I'll tag on here, because I feel like this conversation has been pretty hopeful. Sometimes these can be pretty tense relationships between these two sides in a facility. And I think you've shown a light onto how it can not be. And I also know you're still relatively new, 3 years, I don't know, in this space. But I'm wondering, what hope do you have more broadly for the juvenile justice education space? You know, where might you see it going, or what are you hoping happens in the future in this space, whether it's yours or more broadly?
Well, I know for a fact, just in our district alone, the huge push for student accountability and making it an essential part of what they do while they're there, and proving to the students that, yes, what you're doing here is valid and it is going to go with you. It can go with you if you take the time and put in the effort. I think, don't quote me on the numbers, but I think last year we had around 237 graduates from our system overall. And each, it's kind of like a little competition. Each site tries to see who can get the most graduates each year. And it's more just to keep ourselves motivated as well. Mm-hmm. And so last year we had 6. The year before, my first year there, we had 9. But of course, I really couldn't take a lot of credit for those because they were pretty much almost finished when I got there. But the principal this year came and said, okay, you know, the superintendent wants to know, what's our goal? What are we going to hit this year? And I said, we're doubling it. We're going to 18. The most we've had is 9 before. We're doubling it. And as of last week, we are at 6 so far.
That's amazing.
So even, you know, even if it's not a traditional high school diploma, we are putting the students out there with way more than they came in with. And they have more of an opportunity. You know, they have access to college classes while they're with us. We have one that's in starting her 3rd college class in January with us. And she's right now, she's holding a 4.0 GPA. So it's just, it's really, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's not real school. Oh, they're just babysitting. That's so far from the truth. We're all certified teachers. We all have tremendous credentials. In my opinion, you know, we go and we seek out the best of the best in the education world. And the people that are there because they love being there. It's not a, you know, a place where you just go because you need an education job or, you know, you want to get your foot in the door, because it's definitely a place that you have to seek out if that's something that your heart is called to do, to work with those students. And, you know, we've had people that have come in for a week or two and it wasn't for them, and it's not for everybody, but if it is for you, it is definitely one of the most rewarding. I don't even like to call it a job because it doesn't feel like a job. It doesn't really feel like work. It's just, you know, what you do every day, because that's what you do.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think that's amazing to double. Like, what ambition. And I love that you have such ambition. I know other teachers in South Carolina, DJJ, who share your ambition. And you guys do have an incredible post-secondary program. Maybe on another podcast, we'll talk about it. But too many amazing things happening to talk about in one podcast. But I'll just take a before we wrap up with our last question for you, Catherine, I'll just take a second to say to our listeners, if you like what we've talked about here in terms of building secure care relationships, please check out our Cultivate series. We offer a guide on how to form a mutual accountability team or a students first team, much like what Catherine was sharing about. And that could be really helpful to you. So if you go to breakfree-ed.org/cultivate, you can grab how-to guides and access a lot of resources on how to strengthen your relationships with between education and secure care staff in your space. So definitely check that out. So Catherine, we like to close out our podcasts with a little bit of inspiration by talking about our one new thing, which can be something you're newly interested in or excited about, or something you've been researching that just is your quirky obsession you love. It's really our call to action to continuously learn and grow. So I'd love for you to share, what's your one new thing?
So this summer, one of our other principals at our main site and myself were both science nerds, science gurus. We were attending a professional development that was in conjunction with the South Carolina Aquarium. And we had a speaker that came and talked to us about the blue mind theory and how water has such a huge impact on every area of our life. And so being a huge beach lover, I like to tell people I was a mermaid in my previous life. It really kind of hit me as to, you know, how can I kind of test this theory? How can I bring this into my space and see what positive effects come from it? So, of course, I had to go through all the channels and get approval and sign up for pets in the classroom through Petco, where they provide funding for a classroom pet. And so, of course, mine was seeking out trying to get a fish tank. And then, of course, we had to go through the procedures of finding one that was safe and secure for a secure environment, which was a little challenging. And went through all of that. And it has actually been a huge positive impact in the classroom. The students do come in and, you know, they take a minute or two, they'll look at the fish, they'll listen to the water, you know, of course, tell me what I need to do differently with the tank. But it's also been like a common ground, because the security likes to come in and check on them, and the AFA and the FA and, you know, the social workers, they'll come over, they want to see it. And if like the students are having a really, you know, difficult day or whatever, sometimes they'll be like, hey, can I sit at the table by the tank? And I just think the water, the soothing, the calm is just something that they, you know, they're drawn to just kind of, you know, mellow out and kind of zen a little bit. So that's kind of my new thing. I plan to test it a little bit further. And, you know, I kind of give them little tidbits from the book, because it is a book that was written by a gentleman who actually was from the Midwest, believe it or not.
Tons of water around there.
Yes. Definitely not. But he really did a lot of research on how water affects everybody in different ways. And so I do kind of have a little psychology bug that I like to kind of delve into. So that's my new thing. So you might want to check the book out and just kind of see how you can maybe incorporate that into your facility or your classroom, and, you know, see what effects it might have.
I love this. You are coming in at just the right time yes. with this information, Catherine. You don't even know it. But one, first of all, when you first mentioned the importance of water, literally all I wanted to do was reach right over here on my desk to grab my water bottle and take a sip. But second of all, a fish tank in your classroom. This is so exciting. We were just talking with another teacher who has a dream of having a fish tank in her classroom. And Kayla and I were like, we're on this. We have got to get it done. And now we have a proof research. Point right yes. here that it can be.
And who knew?
But if anybody else is listening that has a fish tank in your class, let us know, because we need more proof points to make this dream happen. So yeah. amazing. That is really cool that you did yeah. that. I love that it's not just to have a pet in the class, but it's tied into this blue mind theory, which I'll have to do some more research on. But that sounds really awesome. Yeah. Is the fish tank glass or is it plastic?
It's plastic. It's acrylic.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Nice. Okay. See, yeah. It can be done.
Yes. They're not, you can't find amazing. Very big ones, but we're contemplating doing the mini ones throughout the classroom. So we'll see where we can get and how we can get with it. It is kind of taxing keeping it clean, but that's something else that I'm working on getting donated, is a better, filtering cleaning system so that it is not as much work, because I can't really have them involved as much as I would like when it comes to that process. But they do get to feed it. They do get to help change the filters. And, they do a little bit of research on the type of fish that are in there and different, temperature. We did all of that. We did all the research, what is our temperature in our room? What fish can live in this temperature, because we're not going to have a heater? And so, we kind of did that collectively before we actually embarked on setting everything up.
Catherine, you are a person who sees challenges as opportunities for creativity. And I love that.
Well, tell me I can't do it. Tell me how I can.
Exactly. I love that. I love that. I'm so glad. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and just chatting with us. It's just been a real pleasure to talk to you about your classroom and your school and just all the cool things happening in your space. So thanks for being our special guest today.
Again, thank you so much for having me.
And that, my friends, is a wrap on another episode of Books Over Bars, a break-free education podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this episode and are leaving with some aha moments and maybe one new thing to try. Until next time, we hope you create learning spaces that are relevant, meaningful, and engaging for students in your care. Because when books and learning take precedence over bars, we can drive meaningful change forward. Thanks for listening. More soon.